This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. In 1971, the group Vietnam Veterans Against the War brought together about 125 vets to discuss war crimes they had witnessed or participated in. It was an attempt to tell the public that the My Lai massacre, which had just been reported, was not the only war crime Americans were responsible for. The larger goal was to end the war. The event, which was called the Winter Soldier Investigation, was held at Howard Johnson's motel in Detroit. The press was invited, and a team of documentary filmmakers recorded it. But the film Winter Soldier was hardly shown in America outside of college campuses. Now it's been re-released and will open Friday at the Lincoln Center Film Society in New York and soon show in several other cities. The Winter Soldier investigation was part of a series of events, including protests, memorial ceremonies, and an event in which many vets, including John Kerry, threw their medals or ribbons over a fence to symbolize their objections to the war. It was John Kerry who asked my guest, Rusty Sachs, to participate in the Winter Soldier investigation. Kerry had read a letter to the editor Sachs had written in opposition to the war. Sachs had served in Vietnam as a Marine helicopter pilot in 1966 and 67 and rose to the rank of captain. He's now executive director of the National Association of Flight Instructors. He's one of the vets featured in the documentary. In the film of Winter Soldier, during your discussion of what you witnessed and what you did in Vietnam, you describe witnessing fellow Marines throwing bodies out of helicopters. Would you describe what it is that you witnessed?
Yes, and let me state up front, because there is a very common misunderstanding because of events that have taken place since then, that I was talking about throwing people out of helicopters while they were flying at altitude. I was describing unloading prisoners after we had landed. Prisoners who had been blindfolded and were being unloaded by crewmen, taking them and just throwing them out the helicopter onto the ground in front of the helicopter, or beside the helicopter. On some occasions, they made a game of it. Well, we can get one further than that. And they'd throw another one. It was two Marines, and they'd rather than walk a fellow out of the helicopter, they would just swing him and let him fall to the ground outside the door of the helicopter. And then the next guy, they would, just swing a little harder so it would land either further away or not on top of the guy. It was the troubling thing was that it was being done in such a cavalier fashion. There wasn't anything special being attached to it by the people who were doing it. And it wasn't treated as out of the ordinary by those of us who were standing watching.
Well, if I remember correctly, in your discussion during the Winter Soldier event, you said that you thought this had basically become standard operating procedure because there were officers around when it happened and nobody protested. Nobody said anything.
Right.
Nobody tried to stop it.
And I can't speak for other people who didn't try to stop it, but I still carry within me the guilt of not having done anything to stop it. The first time I saw this happen, and I saw it happen, several times, I was real new in country. I was just learning the ropes. I was learning, what village is where and what altitudes are safe to fly at and what routes are safe to take and basically how you behave in combat. And when I first got there, everybody there was senior to me. They might have not have been senior in rank, but everybody was there. Everybody there was senior to me in terms of experience. And I think it's inevitable that the new guy on the block scopes out what's going on and tries to fit in rather than try to change everything immediately. And I have had sleepless nights for years just kicking myself for not having said anything at a time when I should have.
And was Winter Soldier kind of a way to make up for that, a way to say the things you wish you'd said when they were happening?
I think all of us, to some extent, felt that this was an act of atonement. It was some sort of penance. Admitting to our shortcomings in hopes that others would not fall short in the same manner. But the basic goal was to tell people that this sort of stuff was going on in Vietnam. It was not a clean war. It was not, to the extent that there can be such a thing as a clean war.
In 1971, at the Winter Soldier event, you heard other Vietnam veterans testify that they had witnessed horrible atrocities, including a Vietnamese woman being gutted after being killed, rapes with all kinds of horrible implements. Did you believe everything that you heard?
I tried to maintain a degree of skepticism, but when I saw the faces of the people telling these stories, I knew that these were events that actually took place.
Did you enlist in the military? Did you support the war when you entered it? And if so, what was the turning point for you when you started to oppose the war?
Well, when I enlisted in the Marine Corps, there wasn't much of a war going on. People were talking a little bit about the unrest in Laos, but there wasn't a war in Vietnam when I enlisted. There were American troops there, but nobody would use the word war to describe what was going on there. I enlisted with the absolute intent of becoming a helicopter pilot. And the war just sort of happened to build up and take birth during the time I was going through training. And by the time I got my wings in 1966, we all knew that we'd be going to Vietnam. I mean, there was no question. Every pilot would be going to Vietnam, and we were looking forward to it. We were going to get to practice what we'd been taught. So I got over there and I was excited, and I couldn't wait. How naive we can be, Ms. Gross. I couldn't wait to be there and find out what it was like to be shot at. My opposition to the war came about late in my tour, when my friend Craig was killed. He was a fellow from New England who had gone through training with me. We were in the same pre-flight class. We flew together in our primary training and in our basic training and our advanced training, and then we were stationed in the Camp Lejeune complex, and he got killed. Now, he wasn't the first friend to get killed by any means, but for some reason, it upset me more. It was a straw that broke the camel's back, because I'd seen enough friends and peers get killed, and I had seen no change in the way the war was being conducted, or the way our day-to-day activities were changing. They weren't changing. There wasn't any progress being made, and I said, this is just wrong. We made a big mistake here, and we've got to stop it. We've got to do something to stop the war.
My guest is Rusty Sachs. He's featured in the 1971 documentary Winter Soldier, which is being re-released this Friday. More after a break. This is Fresh Air. My guest is Rusty Sachs, a former Marine captain who served in Vietnam. He's one of the vets featured in the 1971 documentary Winter Soldier. The film is being re-released this week. The Winter Soldier event, in which Vietnam veterans who had started to oppose the war testified about atrocities that they saw or participated in. That was just one event that was part of a series of events in which Vietnam veterans against the war and other veterans sympathetic to their cause protested the war. Among those events was an event, if we could call it that, in which a lot of veterans, yourself included, John Kerry included, threw their medals or ribbons or military papers or other military-related objects and threw them over a wall to protest the war. We heard a lot about that during the presidential campaign in 2004. You know, the meaning of John Kerry doing that was endlessly debated. Whether he threw over medals or ribbons and what the difference was endlessly debated. What did you throw over that wall?
I no longer had my medals because I had given them away earlier.
To who?
Actually, to the set of the Boston production of the American tribal love rock musical Hair.
What did they use them for?
I'm not sure. I think they probably hung them on a flat, you know, on the stage someplace. But I had my ribbons. I threw my ribbons. The park police or someone had erected a high wire fence across the steps to the Capitol on the mall side, and we couldn't go beyond that fence. But the vets lined up pretty much single file along the fence. And this fellow made a speech, and then people were coming up to the microphone, and people would individually speak a few words, and then throw whatever they were throwing, medals or ribbons, or one fellow threw a cane, others threw discharge papers over the fence. And as I was, two or three back in the line, somebody came up and handed me two medals and said, "Here, these are for you." And I didn't know. I looked at them and I recognized them. One was a Distinguished Flying Cross and one was a Silver Star. And now I was almost at the microphone and I had these two decorations that I had never earned. And I was, I had in the space of about 15 seconds, I had the most rapid moral crisis I've ever had in my life. What do I do with these? And I recalled two friends who had gotten killed recently, both in senseless accidents, not as a result of direct enemy action. One had gone down in the water with his helicopter, got out of the helicopter, was treading water, and someone tried to hoist him out of the helicopter by hovering above him so low that he drowned in the downwash of the rotor blades. And the other had been steered by radar vectors to a landing zone in terribly bad weather, and something messed up and he flew into the side of the hill and got killed. But as I had these, I had a Silver Star in one hand and I had a Distinguished Flying Cross in the other hand, and I got up to the microphone and I said, "For Captain Roger P. Harrell, United States Marine Corps, this is a Silver Star. And for Major Bob Kramer, U.S. Marine Corps, this is a Distinguished Flying Cross." And there's an interesting sequel to that, if I can go on a little further.
Sure.
Years later, probably 20 years later, there was a documentary that had that little snippet extracted and broadcast. I came home from work, and my wife handed me the telephone and says, "It's for you." Picked up the phone, and a voice said, "Is this Mr. Sachs?" And yes. "Were you the guy who was on TV last night?" I said, "Yes." He said, "Did you say something about a Major Kramer?" I said, "Yes. Bob Kramer was in my squadron. He was a major, and I was a lieutenant, but you know, we knew each other, and he was one of the people we lost." There's a long pause, and he says, "That was my wife's father."
Wow.
And she's always wanted to be able to talk to somebody who knew her father overseas. And I wonder if it'd be okay if I had her call you tonight, and or I'll call you and just put her on the phone with you, and she can talk. And it was a very warm conversation. I met her face to face within about a year at a reunion. It was there was a moment of healing that took place because of that little 15-second crisis I had trying to figure out what to do with somebody else's medals that somebody had given me, somebody had handed to me.
Let's get back to that moral crisis. What were you planning to throw over the fence before you were handed the medals?
Oh, I had all my ribbons that were mounted, and I had them in my hand, and I threw them over. So that's what I was going to throw.
What does it say to you that you were given medals? Does that take away from the authenticity of the event? I mean, I've seen that footage, because that footage is in Going Upriver, which is a documentary about John Kerry and his participation in these anti-war events in 1971. And so I've seen that footage of you, and I just assumed, as I'm sure everybody watching it does, that it was your medals.
Mm-hmm.
Does it change anything? Does it make it less real, more staged?
That's what caused the moral crisis. So what do I do with these? I can't fly under false colors, but I've got them in my hand. How can I use these to make a message that might help end the war a little bit more? I didn't claim that they were mine. I named the people who had been awarded those decorations, whom we had lost, and tried to make some memory of them.
Were other people given medals to throw over too?
I don't know. After I threw mine and threw my batch of ribbons, I was nervous. I was shaking. This was a tremendous atonement. This was a very powerful emotional moment for each of us. I walked down the steps in a way, and I came upon a vet in a wheelchair who was there, observing, and we just sort of hugged and wept there from the tremendous emotion of having divested of ourselves of this, of these little colored cloth pieces that symbolized so much, and we had to use to divorce ourselves from what they were for.
What was it like for you during the 2004 election to watch the Winter Soldier testimonies, John Kerry's testimony before the Senate Committee on Foreign Affairs, the protest in which you and Kerry and other veterans opposed to the war threw medals and ribbons over this fence? What was it like to see, for you, to watch all those actions become headlines again and to become very controversial with people on different sides telling the story and the meaning of the story in completely different ways?
It was very frustrating to me to see John Kerry, a man I absolutely admired, for his conduct both during and after Vietnam, vilified by folks who basically opposed his values rather than his actions. That was very painful, and it was very frustrating to see John responding in a very mild fashion and not using the eloquence that he had used so effectively as a 28-year-old kid many years ago.
It's been a really long time, 23 years, I think, since you actually saw the whole film Winter Soldier. Do you plan on going to see it?
I've been invited to to go to Lincoln Center on Friday. I plan to be there. I got a hunch I won't sit through the entire film.
Why not?
It's very discomforting to see young men in such pain over having done things that they did. I lived through that in the 70s. I don't really need to be reminded. And Terry, to extend it maybe longer than you'd like, I really understand now why my father, who had been in the army in the Second World War and had been at Normandy and gone through the Battle of the Bulge and stuff, refused to go see Saving Private Ryan. I just don't need to see that again.
Well, thank you very much, and good luck to you.
Thank you very much.
Rusty Sachs is one of the vets featured in the 1971 documentary Winter Soldier. He's now the executive director of the National Association of Flight Instructors. Winter Soldier is being re-released, starting with its showing Friday at the Lincoln Center Film Society. I'm Terry Gross, and this is Fresh Air.